ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube channel. This week I've got an awesome guest with me. His name is Adrian from Hasta La Vista Boss. As the name suggests, Adrian is working extremely hard to say Hasta La Vista Boss and make a full-time income online. Since he started exploring how to make money online a couple of years back, he's tried a variety of different methods. He's tried loads of methods, actually. They include Amazon affiliate sites, lead gen, selling merch, his YouTube channel. He's invested in property currently. He runs a podcast. And he does all this while still working a very demanding construction job. He works 11, 12 hours a day, and then he comes home, and then he does all this fun stuff in the evenings. So today we talk to him about pretty much all of that. We get into more detail about his experience running lead gen and merch and YouTube and his Amazon affiliate sites and how he's now concentrating on that more and more so he can actually make this a full-time gig for himself. It's been a great episode and I hope you enjoy it. And let's get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Hey, Adrian, how's things?
Hey, buddy. Everything is good, man. Just coming from work, sipping some tea on my favorite cup.
Wink, love the wink. Cup. You need to get the Hasta Vista Boss cup now.
Yeah, I need to personalize it even more, right?
Yes.
to get me motivated.
How's work been? You've been busy?
Busy. It's a job that keeps me busy all the time.
Yeah.
I don't do much with my body, but I do a lot with my hands. You know, it's like, I mean, that sounded weird, but it's just using the joysticks a lot. It's like playing PlayStation.
I imagine it's quite a demanding job mentally as well, making sure everything's right and yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about your job. Like, what do you do? Tell us about yourself, Adrian, before we get into anything. Like, let's hear a bit about yourself. And because you've got an amazing story. You work a full-time job, like a very demanding full-time job. And then you have done and you are still doing like a million and one things on the side. Like, I don't know how you're doing it. So give us an introduction to yourself.
Sure thing. So some people might know me, some people know, but if you don't know me, I'm a full-time construction worker. I work on a crane operator, if you want. So that's why I said I use the joysticks a lot. It's a fun job. I love it to death, but it's still a job. So I want to say this at one time, like Adam, like Mark, and some of you listeners here, say hasta la vista, boss, and you know, be full time online. I simply love digital marketing. I love building websites. I love SEO. It's just a world that it was hidden from me. I don't know why.
Yeah, because you started this quite late, right? Like you haven't.
I started very late. Like, I remember, I still remember now, first time I went on YouTube, on Doc Cunnington YouTube channel, I said to him, I don't know what the hell I was doing for the last 29 years. Why? Yeah. Why no one told me about this before, right?
And then when you find it, it almost feels too good to be true, right?
Well, it was, and that's actually dangerous. Mm. It's a danger of today's online marketing.
Yes.
Because you'll see new people. Like when I was new to this, I was kind of lucky in the sense that I didn't fall in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
And following the wrong people. And I was lucky that the first person I find and I started to listen and follow, it was Alex Cooper from WP Ego.
Yeah.
And he seemed like such a genuine guy. I said, I need to follow this guy. So then from him, I saw an interview that he had with Doug.
Yeah.
Talking about the site that Doug sold for $250,000. I said, shit, what these guys are doing? I need to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I started. You know, it was late, but I guess on the positive note, it's never late, right? It's better late than never, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We just had Alex on the last episode because he just sold one of his sites, the public study site, for $70,000. So he's just had a great exit
That's nice. That's nice money for holidays, Alex.
Definitely.
Remember to buy us a beer when you come to London, brother.
So, I always ask this question to everyone, and everyone's got a different story. So how did you make your first dollar online? I assume it's going to be different to most of our guests because they've been dabbling a little bit for years. But if you've been doing this only recently, like, how did you make your first dollar online?
Well, the first dollar is, I mentioned already, Alex.
Yeah.
So he was doing, at that time, he was building some websites that you would put this plugin. What was the name? I can't remember the name now, but it was not necessarily the sites that you and I built now. Okay. It's you would just put the products. There was a plugin that would just pull the products from Amazon and put them on your site.
AAWP, is it?
No. It was
Amazon Store Builder kind of thing.
It was you use this WooCommerce plugin, and then there was another.
Right.
One. Okay. I forgot the name now. It escapes me the name.
You're basically building like an e-commerce store, but it's filled with
exactly Amazon like a store, but just with the products that you decide to sell. So you say that you build a site like podcastingpros.com. Well, you'll put on that site just products that have to do with podcasting, right? Mics, stands, headphones.
And would you build content around that as well, or were you just trying to rank the products?
Yeah, I think he was at that time. He was you would put the shop together, right on the main page, and then you'll build a section, a blog section, for it. But for some reason at that time, I remember the site would bring traffic just from having those products on the page.
Okay,
it was quite interesting. And that's how I made my first dollar online, because I sold a few products there. I don't even, like I said, I don't even know how people find that site.
Awesome.
I didn't know much about SEO at that time, of course. I mean, I was just following what Alex was showing and you know, buying the themes that he was suggesting. Like, step by step, that's the best way to do it. You know, just follow whatever the teacher, right?
Yeah,
he's saying, and then you start to, you know, play and find other things, but yeah, that's how I made my first dollar online, and then I was so, you know how it is, you remember your first dollar as well.
Yep.
I just got addicted to that.
Well, yeah, it makes it real, doesn't it? You think, well,
it real, definitely, because like I said earlier, you know, you have a lot of people nowadays that, I even made a short a parody. Some people didn't understand that, the message I was sending. I was hey, you want to make $4,000 per day? Easy. You don't need to know anything. I'm going to show you now. Just sign up to my webinar. And I was shooting the money gun. I have it somewhere in here.
Yeah.
It's a parody I made on my YouTube channel. And definitely when you see that that, you know, whatever the Alex was showing, was teaching, and he was for free as well. It was not a course.
Yeah.
And when he said that, this is easy. I'm doing air quotes for those people who are listening to, on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's easy. But then as you do more, you find out that it's not necessarily that easy, but you see that it's actually doable. You can do it. The more you learn, the more you implement all these things that you learn, it becomes real.
yeah, for sure. Okay, so that's how you made your first dollar online. And then you went on to do like a ton of different things, which, and they're all super interesting. And I want to talk about most of them today because there's stuff that I haven't done. So I want to get your insight and your like experience from them. So you've done and you're still doing like affiliate websites, which is great. But you've also done some lead gen, some merch, Amazon merch and some other merch. YouTube, obviously, you've got a great YouTube channel and we'll tell everyone about that. They can go and see. We'll put the links in the description.
Yeah,
you've also done some property investing. You've also got a podcast, and you work a job, which is what, like 12 hours a day. You normally work your job. Like it's insane. You've done so much,
and I have a wife and a kid in the bedroom.
Well, yeah,
I forgot to mention that.
Well, yeah, I literally only have experience here with the affiliate marketing side of things. So like, I'd be keen to hear more. But before we do that, I want to know, like, and I laugh about it, but I want to know, like, how do you stay motivated to go to a job every day and then come home when you're tired and it's been a long day and, you know, you might be stressed from work, and then to open the laptop and work on your other projects? So how do you stay motivated to do that time after time?
it's the way I see things. You see, when I decided to do this, actually, it wasn't like, hey, I want to make a website and see how this goes. When I saw people like Alex, like Doug Huntington, and then other people that I follow, Matt Diggity, and all these awesome people, I said, this can actually be a full-time business. I don't want to just build a website and see if it works. I want to make a business out of this thing. I want to make a career, and I want to, because I saw the possibility. And actually, I'm not going to show it because people are not going to see it on the podcast, but I have the book from Tim Ferriss.
The four hour work week.
That's, of course, everybody's, I think, any digital marketer Bible, I guess. And when I read that book, some of the things that don't apply anymore, but just the fact that the way he managed to just pass the jobs and the tasks that he had to do to someone else, what's the word for that?
Delegate, right?
Yeah. Delegate and outsource, right?
Yes.
Outsourcing and delegating these tasks to someone else, and then have so much time for yourself. Man, that just blew my mind. I didn't know that was possible. So, come. So that's my sister.
Hello.
For those of you in the podcast, my sister just walks in the kitchen. Welcome to Adrian's kitchen. This is where the magic happens, everybody. This is where the mission of saying hasta la vista, boss, happens.
This is where the dream becomes reality.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I had a vision. Like, as soon as I read this book, you know, you create all these images in your head. And I saw myself, wow, I think I can do this. I mean, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, but I can put 2 + 2 together, and I'm sure I can do it. And the vision that I have is so big that motivates me so much. Every time when I come home, I said, I need to work towards that. You know, I need to work because I want to work. And another thing that helps me is that, you see, I don't see this like many people. Oh, I want to make this site, see if it works, if it doesn't. I want to make this like a long-term project, right? So if I said to myself, and I said to my missus, if I get into this, I want to make this like a project for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That, this is what I want to become. So, you know, that's why I got into so many things, because I'm so excited and I love to learn new things and do this. But as we will learn, as we talk about this maybe later on, it might be good, it might not be that good.
All right. Well,
to do so many things.
Let's get on to it then. So the first thing is lead gen. Like I say, I've never really done anything. So tell us about your experience with lead gen. I'm assuming it was website based, obviously, but was it local, like a local business, or was it like a national business?
Yeah, it's national. It's national. Now that I think about it, I mean, I keep saying it's local, but it's not local, it's national, because I have this website is ranking for different keywords in different cities. So it's I stopped working on it because I don't have too much time, but the website is ranking for, if you're curious, just go to telehandlerplanet.com. It's available on the YouTube channel as well. I stopped, unfortunately, making videos for that case study as well, again, for lack of time. But that website is related to the things that I do. So I said one day, let me try this local stuff thing. I mean, if I can do this with affiliate marketing, I'm sure I can do this with local, SEO.
Yeah.
And to my surprise, local SEO, it's freaking easy. It's freaking easy. I don't even want to say too much, because if I decide to go into local SEO, I want to keep you guys away from it so I can make shitloads of money. But it's much easier. The competition, it's not as
fierce. There's not so much competition. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you're not competing. I mean, there are, of course, like, I don't know, dentists, lawyers.
Yeah.
Those are, or real estate agents. Those are freaking, you need loads of money.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can do roofers in North London. I'm sure there's some people who are already doing that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's so much easier.
Okay.
And the site was basically, I was writing content for related to telehandler. If you don't know what it is, a telehandler, if you've seen a forklift in one of these warehouses, you know, goes up and down. Well, the telehandler is just a forklift that extends. It has a boom that goes in and out, like 4 meters, 6 meters, 20 meters. And as well, I work on another machine that's called something similar, but it's basically like a crane. You know, rotates 360 degrees. You lift stuff on the roof and all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I have knowledge about this, and I am doing this, and I have images, and I can make videos. So I have, who better than me to do this? And I started just to play with it. And then, to my surprise, I said, shit, this makes generates traffic. Okay, nice. And then I said, okay, let's learn Twilio. Twilio, if you don't know, it's I'm not sure how to it's an app where you can buy a phone number basically, and then you take that number and redirect it to a client basically, or other number. You know, it doesn't have to be a client, it can be your phone number, it can be someone else's. And I talked to some people that I know in the industry. I say, hey, would you be interested to get these leads that I'm getting to my site? I mean, I don't know what to do with them. And I'm sure these people are looking for training. You know, so you have people going on Google now and say, even if you go to Google now and if you type telehandler training in London, my website should be number one.
Okay.
I mean, I hope. Because I'm good at it, but no, I'm joking. But I think it's number one in the maps,
right?
And that's where you want to be with local and national businesses.
Yeah.
You have to be in the maps. That's where the people go because they'll you have the phone number, you have the phone, you can ring, you can call the business right from there.
Yeah.
You can go to the website, direction to the business. It's different than affiliate marketing. It's a totally different business model. It's different. You need different signals in order to rank for an affiliate for a local lead generation site than for an affiliate site. The keywords are different. The user is different in the way they look for the way they tap in Google. But yeah, I started to make some money with that site, sending leads to local businesses.
Okay.
I was charging £25 per lead.
Just for the call?
Just for a call.
Wow.
And it doesn't matter if the client or the potential customer becomes a paid customer or not.
Yeah.
That's not my job. You know, my job is to send the leads.
Yeah.
I generate the leads and I send them to you.
Were there some kind of, did they insist on any kind of like quality control or like, you know, they only pay for leads that stay on the call for at least.
Yeah. I'm not an expert and I had to ask this as well to other people that are much more successful with that type of business model. But there's a few ways to do it. You just have to talk to your client.
Right.
And you have to, if you want to make it easy and like super, super passive, you just say, hey, I send you £20 leads per month, pay me £750.
Right. Makes
That's
sense.
That's it. You know, so if I send you 20 or if I send you 50, you just pay me that money.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter. That's the easiest way to do it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it that way because I was still figuring out how to do it best for myself, of course.
Yeah.
So there was a possibility for me to not charge for the lead, but charge only for when a customer becomes paid customer. So in that case, I would say, okay, so the training costs, what is it? £1,000, right? Well, you pay me 10% or 20% or something like that. Of course, that's much higher, but that makes him more confident, if you want, that I'm not trying to, scam him or something.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he charged me for these leads, but they're not quality. Bro, you pay for Google AdSense. That's a scam. you have your competition go in there and click on your ads.
Yeah.
And Google charge you. So I'm sending you leads because the thing is what I was trying to explain to him as well is that people find this site. I don't go out there find people to come to my site to call you, and waste your money. These people, they go online, they type Telehandler Training in London. They find my site. They take the time to call you, and
they're very warm at that point. They've obviously they want to make a purchase at that point. Essentially,
exactly. They're almost 60-70% almost there. It just depends on you as well. And the problem was that with this client that I had, one of them, because I had a few. One of them is that they said, "Oh, we have locations all over the UK." And I said, okay, I'm going to send all these leads. If someone from Scotland calls you, well, you tell them where the location is and if they want to come or not, well, that depends on them and you. So the issue came that there were many people calling from places that are far from his location.
Right.
And then he said, well, yeah, but you send me all these leads, but these people don't want to come. I said, well, what do you want me to do? You said you're national. So I'm sending you leads from all over the country. Instead of just saying, hey, Adrian, send me leads from London or from Manchester. In that case, they're going to be
qualified.
How do you say? On the bottom of the funnel.
Yeah, qualified.
Qualified, exactly. Much, much more qualified for you. And the chances of them coming to your center to do the training and become paid customers are bigger. So it was awesome. Definitely, I want to get into this at some point again. Maybe once I'm free and, you know, not 10 hours, 12 hours on a construction site. Maybe when I can be 10 hours in front of my computer,
yeah,
build a team, and, you know, then I can then I can do all this crazy stuff. But it's awesome. Lead generation, local SEO, it's awesome.
Okay. If you had to give your top tip to anyone who's listening that wants to get into the lead gen and maybe he's not done it before, what would you say your biggest learning has been from doing it yourself?
There's so many things, but
your number one tip.
Number one, let's see. Just play with it. I guess play with it. Don't be afraid to reach out to customers, to people, to businesses, and ask them, hey, do you want leads? I have these people waiting on this list. I don't have any where to send them. Would you want some leads? And do this for free for a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This Twilio app, you can set up your site, rank it in Google, and put someone somewhere. Just go on Google and find a local business in the area that you want to send leads. And take their number, put it in your Twilio app, and when they call this service, this local business, there's a thing called Whisper in the app. So when the people on the other hand, they're gonna receive the call, the Twilio app will say, this phone call is a lead from Adrian Diaz.
Okay.
And then they're gonna pass you to the caller.
Right. Okay.
Right. That's so awesome. Yeah. So you send them a few leads like this, and then you send them an email or a phone call, and you say, hey guys, you know this leads that you received for the last couple of weeks from Adrian Diaz? Well, I have much more. Yeah, it's me. Hey, would you like more leads like that? Then if you're interested, let's talk about business.
Nice.
You know, so that's one of the things that you know, it has many things. Like I said, there's a lot of things you can do, but that's one of the most interesting that I've learned as well.
Nice. Awesome. That's great. That's a great tip. Okay. Well, next up on my list here is merch. I know you've got some experience with merch. And I didn't know whether you were doing like Amazon merch or a different kind of merch. Like, give us a rundown on your experience with merch.
Well, merch, you see, I got into merch because I said, okay, I'm building this brand, Hasta La Vista Boss, YouTube channel, podcast, this and that, Facebook group. I was building a community. People get to know me. And I say, okay, I think I have a taste for building stuff. Maybe brands. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think maybe because I'm in the construction. I don't know.
Builder in real life and builder of brands. Yeah.
Exactly. But then I said, let's make some t-shirts as well. Cause I've seen, I think at the time I was watching a lot of YouTube, and I think I saw Mr. Beast and all these other big YouTubers that makes shitloads of money from, not from the YouTube channel, but from the merch. And I said, okay, well, let's try a few t-shirts. Maybe, you know, maybe the message, Hasta La Vista Boss, will resonate with so many people, right? Because, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to get rid of the boss.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny, right? Hasta la vista, boss. And then I started to make other different things that has to do with the digital marketing space, right?
Yeah.
Motivational and that kind of stuff. It didn't work that well, you know, because it requires time. Everything requires time. Everything requires time and dedication and energy, and I didn't have it.
How did you have this set up? Was it a website that you were driving people to? Were you driving it through Amazon merch or?
I didn't learn how to do it properly, but basically have, so you can do it on Amazon, you can do it on Redbubble, you can do it on Teespring, and there's many other websites. But basically what I've seen, some people who had success with this, they build communities, they build Facebook pages around that niche, and they start to publish shitloads of images about, look at this cute kitty, or look at this, you know, and shitloads of images about that t-shirt and things related to that t-shirt. Oh, what do you think about this t-shirt? Would you buy it for your grandma?
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. And then Facebook ads.
Okay.
But again, like I said, everything needs time for you to learn it and implement all that thing, all those things that you learn. I'm not going to say it wasn't successful. I'm going to say I didn't even start it.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
But it was something, again, it's something that I would love to get into once I have more time and I can, you know, maybe outsource some of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Something you've tried and something you want to come back to at some point.
Sure thing. Sure. Listen, I've learned so many things. I've done so many things in these 3 years and a half.
Yeah.
Of doing the digital marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so many things. So many things. I'm so excited to get rid of the boss and then come back to some of those and try them again.
Well, once you do this full time, you'll be a beast. You'll be doing everything.
Jesus, I can't wait. I don't know if you, do you know a guy called Meet Kevin?
No.
On YouTube?
No.
Then I'm not going to talk about him too much. But basically, he's one of my favorite YouTube channels, especially when he was talking about property. Now he wants to run for governor in the U.S., in California. So he changed a little bit from what I was love him for. Yeah. But basically, he's a nutter. He works so much. I mean, if I have energy, that guy has 10,000 much more energy than I have. And I think he's just an workaholic.
Yeah.
Really. Sometimes I feel like him, like, you know, I don't stop. So when I have more time, I'm going to fill it up with something. I'm never going to stop doing things. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't think I'm going to grow old and, you know, go fishing.
Nope.
For the rest of my life. And I don't think I'm going to be that guy.
Awesome. Okay. Next up on the list is YouTube. And I know you've done quite a bit with YouTube and it's been fairly successful for you. Your YouTube channel, Hasta La Vista Boss, we'll pop a link in the show notes. But
thank you.
You've got about 1.4K subs, 1,400 subscribers now. You've had over 70,000 views on your videos, and your videos are great, by the way.
Thank you.
just want to tell people a little about your YouTube journey, like how you started, and more about, you know, how you learned that, because your production quality is great. I know when you do your live streams, you use some kind of software that makes it look great. Your thumbnails look great. Like, and all these are different skills which you pull together to do this. So, like, talk us through your YouTube journey.
Again, this has to do with me being so passionate about something. When I say, oh, I want to do that, yeah, I go crazy and I go like, I want to learn anything about everything about it. So when I said, okay, I want to do a YouTube channel. And actually, to be honest with you, this is taking us back when you asked me how I stay motivated. It's kind of part of what I want to do for the rest of my career, if you want. I want to be in the YouTube space, maybe radio or something like that. And first of all, I started the YouTube channel because I said I want to make friends. I want to share the knowledge that I'm gathering and share with other people that probably are as I'm not gonna say this on your podcast, but maybe they're as stupid as I was.
Starting a journey, I think, is the right way of doing it.
Yeah, ignorant. Maybe the better is ignorant.
Yeah.
To all these things, blinded to all these things, and maybe someone is going to watch it and say, wow, yes, this makes sense. So the idea was this one, kind of make a vlog, you know, hey, today, what a shitty day in London today, but I'm still positive. I'm going home and I'm going to work on my stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know. And people really, the messages that I'm getting is that people love my my no filter personality, if you want. And there's no filter.
Yeah.
And in my messages, in my videos, that's why I started the YouTube channel. Never to me, the YouTube channel was never about making money with it. It's okay. It's just totally to network with people and talk to people. I don't know if you realize, but I like to talk. So I like to talk, and this is the perfect thing for me with the YouTube channel. And then how I learned to do all this, I said, well, I don't want to have just, you know, a screen with me in the thing because people might get bored. I said, okay, let's learn about how do you use all this software. And actually it's a program called OBS Studio. It's free and it's crazy amazing. It's so sexy. You can do so many. You can make movies on that program. It's so amazing, honestly.
How's it free? Is it like freemium or is it just totally free?
It's totally free. You don't pay anything on this.
Wow.
So then you have plugins that you can use. I'm not using any plugin at the moment, but you can create basically different scenes. People are not going to see me on the podcast because I'm doing something with my hands showing the scenes that you can create. So basically you can put, let's say, layers. You have different layers, right? So you put the camera on the back if you want, and then on the front of the camera you're going to put a PNG image.
Yeah.
That is going to cut and it's going to be transparent, but you can see only the bottom, right? And it's going to show up underneath you.
Okay.
With an offer that I might say, hey, get my merch here. Link in the description. But you put a nice image, you know,
yeah.
A nice call to action instead of just hearing my horrible voice. Hey, get a t-shirt. But there's loads. Listen, nowadays, I wish I knew this. But nowadays you can learn anything. You have no excuse not to be great at something. Especially now, I have everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everything is on freaking YouTube. So that's how I learned how to use OBS. But then I had other cool stuff that people started to call me and ask me, hey, Adrian, how you do this? How you do that? Because I had at some point when I'm doing the live streams, I have people from the audience join us and, you know, share, hey, Adrian, I made $500, or just share someone who wants to come on the show and talk about that topic that we have that day and, you know, share whatever. It's like kind of a TV show, like a late night show, if you want.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I love that kind of stuff. I can't wait to see when I can get back to it.
Well, I think you kind of already answered one of my questions. So
go on.
One of my questions were, you know, video content is time consuming to create and it's you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're the face of it. So as a... air quote passive income stream. It's not very passive, and I was going to ask how you plan to scale it up in the future once, you know, you say hasta la vista to your boss and you're doing this full time. But it sounds like you weren't doing it for the money. You're doing it for other reasons, which is
for other reasons. Yeah, definitely. If money comes out of this, it's going to be secondary to me.
Yes.
So of course it's going to come some money. Some people that already companies reaching out. Hey, Adrian, would you do a review about this product that we have? Hey, Adrian, do you want a sponsor or whatever? There is money to be done. And then it's monetized. The YouTube channel is monetized with ads from YouTube, which is crap anyway. I mean, I'm not getting that many views, but it's not scalable because... Well, it could be scalable if I become the next Joe Rogan, you know. It's going to be me doing video podcasting or radio show, whatever. But, you know, the sponsor's going to pay more and more every, the bigger I get.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, sure. I have big dreams. I'm a dreamer.
No, I tell you what, I understand where you're coming from, because our channel is not for monetization. It's so we can chat to cool people like yourself and talk to people that we, you know, probably wouldn't have got the chance to talk to and pick their brains and find out what they're doing and all the cool stuff. So, yeah. It's not about
I walk on the street and I don't see people saying, hey, I'm a digital marketer. Let's talk. How can you make friends then?
Yeah.
Other than having a podcast and invite people to come. And if you go to my YouTube channel and you see the live streams that I had, it ranges from people that makes $50 online to people who makes millions of dollars online. It makes no difference to me. I just want to talk to awesome people that have the same mindset. I'm sure I'm going to get this something different from talking to Matt Diggity than talking to one of my friends who have less success. But the energy that I'm exchanging with these people, it's awesome to me.
Yeah.
That's around four. I mean, and that's actually one of the things that I want to say that keeps me motivated as well, Adam. The energy exchange.
Yes.
You see that now when I'm talking to you now, when I go off of this mic, I'm not going to do anything today anymore. I had enough today. I'm just going to take a shower and go to sleep. Tomorrow is another day. It's payday, by the way, it's Friday. It's payday in construction. But that exchange of energy, the laughs that we're having here, you know, just you and me chatting, having a laugh, that's just amazing to me. It just pumps me up so much. And I go back now, go to sleep so happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Well, next up on my list then is property investment. This one's of personal interest to me because it's something that I've not done any property investment, but I would like to do some in the short to near term. My first question is, seeing as you've done both online businesses and property, is the big difference that I see for property, at least here in the UK, is, you know, when you buy a house, you buy it with a mortgage, so it's leveraged. So you only got to put down a smallish deposit. But with a website, it's all self-financed. Usually you have to buy the site outright. You know, you've got that. But on the flip side, the ROI or the returns on a website are a lot better than renting a house out, for example.
Definitely. The first thing I would say is there's a big difference. There's a big difference. One is a total traditional business model that's never going to fail. If you buy a house, it's yours forever. Hopefully you're going to pay it. It is yours forever. And you're going to have crappy years like the last 2 years with this. I'm going to keep it out of the discussion because I'm very vocal about my opinion. But let's say it wasn't a good year with what happened for the last few years, right? Because people lost jobs, lost their jobs. They don't have money. So if you rent it, then the danger is that people are not going to pay you.
Yeah.
And especially in countries like Spain, I'm not 100% sure how here works, but in Spain, you are freaking very protected as a tenant.
Yes.
So for me to get you out of my property, it's going to cost me shitloads of money.
And take a load of time as well, yeah.
Yeah, time and frustrations and all that. But that's going to happen in the online marketing space as well, some way or another. Like maybe you don't have tenants, but you have the stupid Google algorithms.
Yeah.
That comes every now and then, and they can kill your site, basically, right? Yes. And they say, shit, what happened to my, you know, last 3 years of investment and energy and money that I put into all this? It goes to the bin. So that's one of the differences that, like you said, the first difference is to buy offline properties, it costs a lot of money. or at least not, let's say not a lot of money, but you have to have some capital.
Yes.
You have to have some capital. You have to have good credit score. You have to have some knowledge. And you have to go out there in the world and find a property, talk to people, scan the areas. There's a lot of work that goes into it. Whereas online, I started my first website with no money, other than just paying the theme and the, how do you call it? The hosting.
Yeah.
What's that? That's maybe 250 bucks per year.
Yeah.
That's nothing, right?
Yeah.
Compared to my first property that I had to put down, I think it was 20,000 euros. And then all this, the stress, because it's a stress, you know, it's a stress for you to, especially I'm not living, I mean, I'm living in London and the properties that we, myself and my wife buy are in Spain, right? So imagine taking the plane every weekend, which is awesome in some way because you go to Spain, you know, nice weather, blah, blah, blah. But actually, you don't go there to have fun.
No.
You know what I mean? You go there, you know, calling all the time, go assess some properties, look at this deal. This deal looks good. The property looks like shit, but, you know, we can do some improvements here. And there's a lot of things that you need to do. But nevertheless, it comes into... Smart people like yourself will know that you have to diversify a little bit once you have some money on your hands. You have a few properties online. You have a business that, you know, service that provides stuff to, you know, to affiliate marketers. Then maybe you want a few properties, you know.
Yeah.
I put them on Airbnb. Makes much more money for me than put them on a long-term rent. For now.
I was just going to ask, are you buying them to flip or are you buying them to rent? But it sounds like you're buying them to rent and then using Airbnb.
I've considered all the possibilities, and the best one would be to just buy and sell, do the makeup, sell it.
Yes.
But again, for that type of business, you need capital. Because you need to buy the property. You need to buy it with cash down. There's nothing like, oh, you know, I'll pay you 20 grand now. And you have to have, you know, some money. And you have to have some money. You have to have some people to work with you that you trust, you know, to do the repairs and all that. And you have to be there. You have to be there. And this is one of the things that I'm considering with my wife for the future. As this grows, you know, we have two properties now. We're looking for the third one. As this grows, well, it's better for us to be there to manage all this, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier to manage. And it's going to be probably easier to expand as well. There are services that we can provide as well in the future. Like there's many people reaching out to my missus to do consulting. You know, hey, how did you buy this? How can we do it? Can you help me? And then there's so loads of opportunities that comes. You can work with the bank because in Spain, the banks take the properties if you don't pay them.
Right, yeah.
And then they have them there, but they don't want – the bank is not a real estate, you know, thing. So they just want to get rid of them. So they have deals with people who can bring them, you know, clients to sell those properties. Okay. Again, with the real estate agencies, the same thing. You can get, you know, 2-4% commission from the sale. So there's loads of opportunities. But
how come you decided to invest into Spain?
Well, the first thing I wanted to buy here,
right?
But then I said, shit, did you know how expensive the properties in London are?
Oh yeah, insane.
It's crazy. I mean, it's $500,000 just a studio.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
But is it hard to buy a property in Spain compared to maybe you bought? Because around where I live in Wales, the properties are relatively cheap. Like, is it Would it be easier for you to buy in the UK somewhere outside of London, or was it a conscious decision that you wanted to buy in Spain for other reasons?
Well, it have to do as well with how you're gonna monetize it. I mean, if I buy a property in Wales, which is, by the way, where I did my first training on the cranes.
Okay.
I had to drive all the way to Wales. I can't remember where it was, but it took me like 3 hours to get there. It depends how you want to monetize. I mean, the market in your area. Do you think you're going to rent it? You have to make some numbers as well, because when you buy a property and you want to rent it, you have to look at the numbers, like if it makes sense to buy it, you know.
Yeah.
You look at a minimum of 8, 9, 10% return per year. So if you buy a property with 100,000, you will like at least 1,000 per month.
Yeah.
If it makes sense. Makes sense?
Yeah.
I think that would be 10,000. Yeah, 10,000 per year.
Yeah. Yeah, about 8,000.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Forgive me. It's too late. Too many hours awake already. But yeah, I mean, the decision was, where can we buy as well? I mean, there's no point for you to try to, get into debt here in the UK, to get a huge debt to buy a property, and then you just basically pay the property with the money that you make from it.
Yeah.
You know? You want to have some money. You want to make some money out of it. So we said, okay, where can we buy? So the property that we bought in Spain cost us, it was ridiculous, because it was after the crisis in 2008, 2007, Spain never recovered fully. So where we bought this property with 77,000 euros, something like that, stupid cheap. You would not buy it if you didn't have like 200, 250,000 before.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a lot of makeup to do to the property, by the way.
Yeah.
We spent like 20 grand on it. And with a shit loads of mistakes as well. Loads of mistakes. But then we pay like 150 euros per month on the mortgage.
Wow. Yeah, that's so cheap. Yeah.
It's cheap. So now you can imagine. And of course, you have other expenses like, the council tax. I don't know how that's called, but in Spain, but there's a tax for all this stuff and some other property maintenance. But we still make money out at the end of the year when you draw the line. You say, yeah, okay, we made 15 this summer. We spent 3 grand on this and that and that. Oh shit, we still made 10 grand. Well, that's nice.
That's awesome.
That's why we decided to buy in Spain, because I mean, what's the point for me to buy here just to pay a property?
Yeah.
And the property be mine in 40 years. Nah. You can look at that kind of investment as well. But first, I want to make some money now.
Yeah.
You know, you can have both. You can have some money now, and then you can buy some properties to have them, later on. If you want to sell it, you just get the equity that you gain
in
10 years or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, awesome. I want to spend the last 10 minutes talking about your main income driver now, your Amazon sites or your affiliate sites. Tell us a little bit about that. So how many sites do you have? Tell us about like how they're monetized, like what are you doing with them? Because this is what's driving most of your side gig income right now, I believe.
So I have two websites. Mm-hmm. Both of them, one of them is monetized with Amazon and with Ezoic.
Yeah.
I just started with Ezoic like in March. So it's March, April, May. I need to check how much money that site made. But I've only switched on the ads and Amazon. And then I have another site that I've started in March this year. And like I was telling you earlier, the site makes some interesting progress.
Yeah.
It's only 4 months old. It's a brand new domain, 40 pages up, and money comes, and it made like $220 last month. only from Amazon.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, for 4 months for a brand new site.
Yeah. I mean, in my experience as well, it's I can't remember how much money the first site made in its first month, but I remember the first site as well made its first sale in the second week of being live.
Wow.
And this site made its first sale in the I think it was in the sixth or seventh day, started to make sales on Amazon.
That's crazy. And these are not expired domains. It's a fresh
domain. No. I'm doing all that kind of stuff, right? I'm not afraid to, you know, recognize that I like to play with SEO, and I do anything to take an advantage.
Yeah.
Without losing my moral compass, of course.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't used anything else than just write a few, like the first 20 pages on the site were all informational. So like, how to do this, how to do that, can this do this, can this, that, blah, blah, blah. You know how they are. The questions, right? Questions that people ask about a product or service or whatever. And then once I had 20 of those pages up, I started to slowly start to drip a few money pages. And then I keep kind of a ratio. I make one or two pages, money pages, and then I drop two or three informational, two or three money and then information. I don't know if this has Google sees any of these, like, this site is good or not. I have no idea. I haven't tested this, but that's how I did it for some reason. I don't know. So you say, for now,
when you say money content, do you mean like best X for Y style guides?
Yeah, that's it. So the way my site is set up, this new site is set up, I have the main keyword that's best microphone, best podcast, best microphones. And then I have, it's kind of a hub, if you want, a silo built around that. So you have best microphone for podcast, best microphone for YouTube, best microphone for singing, best microphone for blah, blah, blah. And I haven't talked about any other thing than microphones.
Okay.
For the last 50 pages. So, and I'm not going to stop. I have like another 100 keywords that I need to write about, and all are going to be about microphones. And the domain is brandable and it's expandable.
Right.
So it's within audio, let's say. And now I'm just talking about mics. I'm going to make like 100, 200 posts about mics, and then I'm going to jump to a new
speaker hub,
if you want something to do with audio, like best, I don't know.
Speakers or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are you writing all of this content yourself, or are you outsourcing?
I hate writing. I hate it with a passion.
Yeah.
I try sometimes to do it, but it just takes me like, it takes me like 8 hours to make a couple of lines.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I scrap it. Just send it to someone. So I have a couple of, three writers now. And I actually, yesterday I post another, post on Upwork looking for another one.
Yeah.
I outsource the content writing.
When you hire these writers, are you looking for experts in the field of microphones or audio, or are you just looking for good writers?
Yeah, I when I post the ads on when I post the jobs on Upwork, I always say, hey, please be an expert in audio. If not, don't apply, for fuck's sake. Don't apply for it. Because then I don't want to go over and start reading your articles and then say, oh shit, this guy is not good, then start the whole process again. But I understand the people, they need the money as well, so they just apply for it.
Yeah,
it's just that they lose my time.
Yeah,
that's all.
Do you make sure that they're native English speakers, or that doesn't matter for you?
It does matter at this point. At this point, it does matter because the site looks great, and I'm reaching out to local businesses as well to kind of make collabs with them. I'm looking already in the future, and I've heard you and Mark talking about this in one of your videos, that you guys have kind of four stages of a site.
Yeah.
And this site that I'm building now, I'm kind of looking already on the third or fourth phase that you guys talk about, where, you know, I'm not looking into building a program or a product, but I look into send some leads, maybe.
Makes sense. Connect directly to the brands in the space.
Yeah, so that's why I want to the content to be at least readable. At least readable. You know, don't make me look like an asshole, you know, because these people, they might be like, you know, doctors that I'm going to invite. Hey, can you chime in here? Can you give me a code? I can put your name here, link to your site, blah, blah, blah. And then these guys will come, what the hell these guys are writing? I don't want my name here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so they're not Americans. But then the English, at least the way they write, it's an American English, and it's understandable. That's the thing that I'm asking, you know, to be readable. It doesn't sound like it's spun or something.
Makes sense. Okay. What about link building? Have you done any link building?
Yeah. So I don't like to wait for Google to give me love. Right. I want them to see me. Hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
So like we talked previously, I followed, you want me to mention their names?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's fine. So I followed for the first couple of pages. I followed the things that Morten Storegard shared on his course. And then I had to move away from just pure white hat approach to building sites. And then I went to gray, not black, but gray. And I started to implement things that I've learned from Matt Diggity on his course. You know, your social fortress. Sorry, it was escaping me the name. You know, you build your social fortress like any business will do. When you buy, when you create a new brick and mortar business, you don't wait for everybody to come to your business. You go out and tell everybody, hey, if you come here, you have two coffee for the price of one.
Yeah.
You know, you go out, you don't wait for people to come. So that's kind of the same principle that I follow. You know, if you build a business, a website, you don't wait for Google to discover you. You have to go out there, you know, social media, try to promote it, all for free. I'm not paying anything, but it takes time, right? It takes time. Like any business, any brand that you build, you have to go out there and tell people that you exist. And that's actually why I believe that all the pages are indexed of the site. The site actually was indexed on the second day. So I made it live today. Next day was indexed. Within the first week, 9 days or 10 days, it was ranking on page one for two keywords. So I've done all this work at the same time I was writing. So I was writing and I was talking about this. I was promoting, going on Facebook, going on Twitter, going all over the place and trying to promote it. You know, and then the only thing that I didn't do, and I want to do once I achieve maybe, I don't know, 100 articles, I want to do some press release for the site. Makes sense as well. Any business would do that.
Yeah.
You know, any business would do that. And that makes you even more legit, right? Because, you know, hey, Adrian has a new coffee shop. You know, tell everybody on the radio.
Yeah, let's shout about it. Yeah.
Yeah, give a shout about it. So that's part of the link building to me. right? Because every time you share your site, your articles online, that's a link basically that Google has ways to crawl you, to find you. And they say, oh, hang on a second. This new site that Adrian built, it appears to be here on Quora, and they're talking about it on Reddit, and they're talking about it on Pinterest, and oh, hang on a second. And then I started to do some social signal blasts.
Okay. So was that individual posts, or how did that
work?
Yes,
individual posts, yeah.
Okay.
Individual posts. You have to be careful with everything that you do with link building. You have to be careful because you don't want to look like desperate and like, you know, that any SEO would do that, like it's desperate and it's new and it will just do all the things at the same time and
everything at it. Yeah,
throw all the shit on the wall and see what sticks. But you have to be careful, you know, slowly do what makes sense. Do like, if times, like New York Times, if they will have to start again, they will promote themselves nicely, slowly, talk, you know, reach out to another paper maybe or yeah. I don't know. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
But, and then I started to do some, so basically the social blasts were just for one article and it's not the money pages. You know, don't do social blasts on the money pages. That to me doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound natural. Who the hell will talk about your money page all of the sudden, like 60 people on the social platforms? Wow, have you seen Adrian's new top 10 microphone for podcast article?
No.
No. So that's where when this awesome informational articles come into place. And then if you do smart interlinking, well, then that's going to help your site.
That makes total sense. Okay, awesome. The last thing I want to touch on here is how you found the last couple of updates from Google, the one in December, and then the one, the affiliate one a couple of months back, and then most recent, the one that's literally just finished rolling out. Like, how are both of your sites fared through those?
I tell you what, if there's one thing I stopped doing is read anything that has Google update in the name of the post or the social post or the article, whatever that is,
yeah,
on the videos on YouTube. I hate all those videos. People need to understand that Google do updates every freaking day.
Yeah. Small ones.
It's like you see people going on Facebook, hey, how did your site went with this update? Bro, yesterday they had an update. You know, so just, that's a personal thing. I stopped looking long time ago about the Google updates. The only thing I do is I go and check the SERPs, see if anything has changed. But that I do anyway, every day.
Yeah.
You know, in my niche. So every day in my niche, when I come here at night on my laptop, I put my screens, I put my, you know, my browsers here and look at the keywords. I look at the SERPs. I see who's new, who's not new, what's going on. So I don't pay attention anymore to Google's updates.
That makes sense.
You know, so I don't know if, like I said, the site we were talking earlier, the first site that I built, it seems to me that it seems in Google Analytics that the site got killed because it shows zero visitors. But at the same time, we were talking about the second site that's strange. It has like, 100 visitors per month, yeah, and it makes over $200 per month in 4 months. With 40 pages.
Yeah.
So maybe something strange with the analytics on my sites. I don't know.
Yeah. It could be as well. That doesn't sound quite right. The $200 for 100 visitors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be that the has to do with the integration with Azoic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not using that too deep, so I don't know.
Are you using Azoic Leap as well?
Yeah, and that could be the reason, because I just clicked on the button. Okay, activate. See you later. I didn't even ask anybody. Hey, is this how you do it? I just clicked. Okay, activate. Bye. So that could be the reason as well, but I don't know. But personally, I don't look at Google updates. I don't read anything about Google updates anymore. The only thing I do, like I said, I look at the SERPs every day. That you should do. Any website owner should do the same. You know, just look at the SERPs every day to see what's going on.
Yeah,
that's when you see what's going on with Google updates. If they changed something in the algorithm, maybe there's new websites on page one. Go and see what those pages are doing. Maybe they have new features on the SERP. See if you can learn about that.
Yeah.
But I don't look anymore, because that's just another way for people to create content. Oh, new Google update. Check my video.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think the best, because there's not much to do anyway about it. You just keep posting articles, keep building links, keep doing great marketing, and you should be fine. And another thing I learned, you see, is that some people, they get hammered by updates. And they just lose motivation. I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
That's why you should have like two or three. Have two or three, because when one got hammered, leave it there. Don't do much. Just keep posting slowly on it. Because on the next update, Google is going to maybe
come back.
Reverse, maybe go back, maybe. And that's how Google works. You know what? I've been watching so many videos. Even I used to go to the live hangouts with John Mueller.
Okay, yeah.
I used to go to those, and I see that. Listen, I need to stop watching this, Steve, because it's not helpful at all. It's not helpful watching John Mueller. He has a job to do. He doesn't necessarily want to share anything helpful with you.
Nope.
You know, so I don't care. One other thing I do is follow smart guys in the SEO space. So there's many smart, awesome people. The guys from NFG, I don't know if you know them, NFG, Clint Butler, Ted Kubaides, Matt Digity, Kyle Roof. All these people, they're making tests. They do tests. And that's how you know what works and what not in Google, basically.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I follow
sure.
them, what they say, then I pay attention, and then I apply it as well.
Yeah, learn and listen. Listen and learn. Awesome. Well, Adrian, it's been great having you. Thank you for sharing your experience that you've had across, you know, all the different things that you've tried, and we'll no doubt get back to at some point in the future. Where can people reach out to you and find more about you, or, you know, join your community? Like, where's the best place for them to find you?
Well, there's the one thing that we haven't mentioned is that I had to stop a little bit with all these things that I was doing.
Yeah.
So if you want to find me, you can find me on the YouTube channel, Hasta la Vista Boss. But I'm at the moment, I had to take a break to focus on my projects and prioritize and make first this website. Let's make money to say hasta la vista, boss, and then I can come back and have fun with you guys on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So that's just a little observation there. So if you want to catch up, go to the YouTube channel.
I think the YouTube channel alone, anyway, even the content that's on there is really valuable. So even if you're not posting out new stuff, there's plenty on there to consume of stuff you've already done. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Thank you. And there's a Facebook group as well. Again, you can find me there. I've been very, very quiet. Usually I'm much more active, but for the same reason. I used to be active on Facebook and all the platforms, just answering questions to people. Hey, can you help me with this? And then I say, hang on a second. When am I going to have time for myself to do this?
Yeah.
So, I'm sure all of you will understand, but if you want to find me, there's a small, awesome community on Facebook called Hasta la Vista Boss as well. So if you want to join me there, I think I saw your you sent your
I did yeah I
yeah joined, your yeah. Request, Adam. I'll profit.
Do it now. Do it
in
now.
In a second. But you can find me there and other cool people. Again, I think that's those are the two places.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Adrian, thank you very much again for your time and for sharing everything with us. I think our audience is going to get a lot out of this episode. So thanks again. And don't stop hustling until you actually say, like, hasta la vista, boss.
that's the goal. And I hope everybody enjoyed this. I hope you on the other side listening to this, you got something out of it. If not, you know, hey, I hope you had a great day. I hope you have a great day. And definitely, I'm keen to come back, Adam, when the time comes. I want to share with everybody, hey, today's the day. I said hasta la vista, boss. And now it's full time online, baby.
we'll celebrate for sure.
That's it.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.